people of God, as we meditate on God's word for us today, let's pray. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. My friends, on Friday night, I had the grand pleasure of going to my daughter Sylvia's first ever major performance, and in a starring role. It was the Pirates of Penzance. And Sylvia happened to be the Pirate King, one of the most important roles in the whole play. And it was a whole lot of fun. And I noticed that Sylv got right into it. She did really well with her character. And when she put that costume on, it was like she stepped into the role, she stepped into the character of the Pirate King. And she'd been working really hard to get that character right with all of the words and the actions and the mannerisms. Of course, she does smile a lot, so she looked like a very pleasant Pirate King, but she did really well at getting into character. When we, there's this phrase that actors sometimes use. It's called character bleed. And what it means is that when an actor is working really hard on a particular character for a film, particularly if they're using something called method acting, their own character sometimes becomes more similar to the character that they are playing. So when you see a brilliant performance in a movie or in a play, the person has really got into character. They've really helped themselves to understand what it's like to be that person and to play that person. And in fact, last night I watched again with Yvette the movie The Imitation Game about Alan Turing with Benedict Cumberbatch. And he did a brilliant job of playing a really complex and distressed man called Alan Turing. Today's Bible passage has, I think, as the heart of the passage in Romans chapter 13, this particular verse: clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I read that, I couldn't help but think of Sylvia putting on her Pirate King costume, clothing herself like the Pirate King, and then getting into character. And I think that that's really what this passage is all about in Romans chapter 13. It's getting into character as Christ. When we clothe ourselves with Jesus, we don't just put on external garments. We don't just put on actions, but we actually step into the character of Christ and become like Jesus. And in fact, becoming like Jesus is the whole aim, or one of the most important aims, of our Christian life as God's people. So this happens, I think, in this passage particularly, in three main areas of our life. As we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, we get into character as Christ in terms of our believing, our behaving, and our belonging. Or, to put it another way, in terms of our thoughts, our actions, and our community. And I'm going to explore each of those with you. Let's have a look first at thoughts. There's a little brain thinking, as brains do. Now, Romans 13, at the very end, I'll get on to neuroscience in a minute. In Romans 13, verse 14, it says this: clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Don't let yourself think about ways to do wrong. Now, neuroscience, the emerging science of understanding how the brain works, tells us that the things we think about, the things that we practice in our minds, and the things that we actually do build what's called neural pathways. So, for instance, playing the piano might be really difficult at first because your fingers don't know how to move, your brain doesn't know how to tell the parts of your body to move. But the more that you practice and the more that you actually think about it, the stronger those neural pathways get and the better you get at something like playing the piano. Well, let's think about the reverse of that. St. Paul here is telling us as God's people, don't think about ways to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, think about ways that you can act and live in the character of Christ. That means that the neural pathways that are to do with the things that we do that are wrong get weaker, and the neural pathways that are to do with the things that are in the character of Christ actually grow stronger. And our responses as Christians develop and grow, and it becomes easier as we take this path to follow God's will for us. Romans 12 verse 2, if you were here a fortnight ago, I preached on that passage, and Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Or, as the NIV puts it, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So at least part of what happens when someone becomes a Christian is that God begins to get into your head, literally, into your brain and your neural pathways, and to help you change the way that you think. And that changed thinking pattern then works its way out in our actions and in our community. I don't know about you, but I know for myself, don't be too shocked, pastors are sinful people too. I know for myself that there are times when I actively plan to do something that I know is not God's will for me. Now, maybe all of you are okay about that. Maybe not, that doesn't happen to anyone else. Anyone want to claim that they're free from that kind of thing? But what Paul is saying here is, don't plan those things. You know that it's wrong. Let God shape your thinking. Because the things that we think about are the things that we will do. But temptations come to all of us, don't they? Has anyone ever had, you know, a day free of temptation where you weren't actually had a little voice or some urge in you to say, oh, just do this? Anyone ever experienced something like that? Not me, that's for sure. Martin Luther said, and I think that this quote fits in really nicely with what Paul is saying here. Someone asked Luther about temptation one time and said, you know, I can't stop these temptations coming into my head. And Martin Luther said, you can't stop the birds flying overhead, but you can stop them building a nest in your hair. In other words, temptations come to all of us. It's true. The birds fly overhead. We can't stop that. But what we do with that thought, when it comes into our head, we do have control over. We do have a way of responding to. You can't stop the birds flying overhead, but you can stop them building a nest in your hair. Or, as Paul puts it, don't think about ways to indulge the evil nature. Now, actions. There's quite a lot about our actions or our behaving here in Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read a couple of those verses to you. Romans 13 verse 9. The commandments say you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And from verse 12 to 13. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we put on Christ, we are called as God's people to a way of behaving, a set of actions that are significantly different from the way that maybe we lived when we were not Christians or the way that the world around us lives. And I just want to look at these three points, which are the points that Paul makes here in Romans 13. The first one is about sexuality. And this is, these are hard words to say and hard words to hear. But God calls us as his people to purity. And in our society that is absolutely saturated with sex, it's actually really hard for all of us, whether we're single or married, to live in purity and in sexual purity the way that God wants us to. I believe firmly that the Bible teaches us that God's plan for sexual intimacy is that it's reserved for the covenant bond of marriage. And Jesus says, you know, even if you look lustfully at a person, you've already committed adultery with them in your heart. So none of us is off the hook here. All of us struggle with this, and we particularly struggle with it in our society that just pushes so much about sexuality and it's all okay and do what you like if it feels good and all that kind of thing to us. But our call as God's people is to live lives that are characterized by purity. And I believe that God's call on Christian people is, if you're married, to be faithful. If you're single, to be celibate or chaste. And that's a really tough call for all of us. Paul also talks about drunkenness. He says, don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness. Again, this is incredibly countercultural. Australia is a society that is soaking in alcohol. Our children go off at the end of year 12, a lot of them, to Schoolies Week, where they just drink so much. And that's kind of a rite of passage. It's like, now you're an adult. Now you can drink until you're unconscious. And I'm really saddened by that. But God wants us to take care of our bodies. God wants us to say, my body was bought with a price. It belongs to Jesus. I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't need to get drunk. I don't need to be like the culture around me. And finally, Paul talks about jealousy. He says, don't participate in quarreling and jealousy. In other words, it's not all about me. We are called to be people who look out for the good of others and not only our own good. Now, this sounds really hard. And in fact, it is really hard. And it's a hard word for all of us. It's God's law to us that shows us the best way to live, but it also impacts on our heart and our conscience because we go, I know that I haven't lived up to that standard. I know I haven't lived up to that standard. I'll get to that in a minute. Thirdly, what about the character of Christ when it comes to belonging? When it comes to community and the people that God calls us to be around? Well, there's a very clear standard here for us as well. Romans 13, verse 9 and 10. The commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Now, Paul is not just talking here about not bopping someone on the nose or doing something nasty to them. There's actually a positive and active side to the love that God calls us to as a community. We are called to do active good to the people around us. And our community is to be one that's characterized by love for our neighbor, putting the needs of the other person before our own. Actually, that's not quite true, because what does Paul say? Love your neighbor as yourself, right? If you don't love yourself, if you don't take care of yourself, you will have very little capacity to be able to care for others. So it's not a selfless love in a way. It's a love that treats the other person as equally important and equally honorable as I treat myself. There's a whole sermon in there about how we care for ourselves well and love ourselves and love our neighbor and kind of get that balance right. Okay, I'm going to pause for a minute there because I can see a lot of somber faces. And I feel a bit that way myself. As you look at those three aspects of living in the character of Christ, putting on Christ. Which of those ones do you think, and I'm looking for some interaction here, which of those ones do you think is the most difficult for you, and which one do you think is the most important for you at this moment in your life? Is it thoughts, actions, or community? Is it believing, behaving, or belonging? Anyone willing to have a go at answering that? Can you see how they're all connected to each other? If we don't have a community around us, our behavior will be shaped by the world. If we don't think the right way, our actions will follow our thoughts. If we're not believing the right things, then we can't belong in the community of God's people. So they all fit together as a single whole. Okay, so for me that raises the question, what happens when we act out of character? What happens when we forget the lines? What happens when we have clothed ourselves with Christ and yet we have still acted in a way that hurts God and others? Well, at that point, we need God's forgiveness. We need the grace of Jesus. We need to know that it's actually not just about us. And that's actually connected to where is the power for the Christian life? You know, we can try this stuff. We can do it. We can try as hard as we like, but we'll never get it right. But the good news is that it's not us that empowers our Christian living. It's not us that transforms our own mind and renews it. It's not us that forms the Christian community. It's actually Christ. Because Jesus is the one who has come from heaven to clothe himself with our humanity. Just as we are told to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, Jesus, the Son of God, clothed himself with us. John chapter 1, verse 14, very famous passage, and it will be familiar to some of you. John chapter 1, verse 14. Hang on, where are we? The Word, that's Jesus, the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Jesus stepped down from heaven, entered our world, put on not just the form of a human being, but he actually became a human being for our sake. And he was full of grace and truth. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted. But more than that, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be sin for us, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." We are told to step into the character of Christ and to clothe ourselves with Christ, but Jesus himself on the cross took all our dirty deeds, like our dark deeds, like dirty clothing, as Romans 13 says, and he clothed himself with them. He took our sin on himself. He stepped into the character of sinful human beings in order to reconcile us to God. He became us so that we could become like him. And that's the good news. And that's where the power for this Christian life of believing and behaving and belonging comes from. It's not from within us, but from the good news that God the Father, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you all your sins. He's not just forgotten them, but he's taken them on himself. He's stepped into character as you so that you can stand before the throne of the Heavenly Father in the character of Christ. So when judgment day comes, God the Father will look at us who belong to Christ and he will say, "Look, it's Jesus. It's my perfect sinless son. That's what I'm seeing. There's nothing there to condemn. God's people have been forgiven and cleansed and have stepped into the character of Christ." So this Christian life, it's hard. It's true. We don't get it right. But God's love and his forgiveness for us is always there. And all of us, each of us, everyone needs that forgiveness. And that's the power that enables us to put on Christ, to clothe ourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus and to live in him. And that's what God will see when he looks at us and we stand before him, his son, as we grow into his character. Thanks be to God for his great love for us through Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, when our hearts and consciences are heavy because we haven't lived up to the character that you call us to, when we know that we have hurt you and others, when our thoughts have not been focused on you, thank you for your forgiveness for us. Thank you that before we did anything for you, you did all for us, so that we may stand before God in the character of Christ and in your righteousness. We pray this in your name. Amen.